He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is Monday already. Where did the weekend go? This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager. And we're off to a good start in the NASDAQ. But the Dow is stumbling and bumbling around right now, down 75 points. Is that NASDAQ or the Dow right now? But on the other hand, the NASDAQ is up 99 points. 99 bottles of NASDAQ on the wall, right? That NASDAQ hit a new all-time high last week. It's well above 15,000. It's 15,228, 230 right now as it continues to roar. I'm kind of seeing the chip stocks lead the way. Apple's having a good day. It's been looking to me like Apple's getting ready to break out to a new all-time high and start a new up leg. We'll see. The S&P is up 13 right now, 45.22. That's a new all-time high on the S&P 500. Crude oil down 48 cents. That may be one of the problems with the Dow. I've also seen some financials kind of lagging today, which there's definitely more financials in the Dow than there are on the NASDAQ. Gold's down $4, 18.15. Silver's down 8 cents to 24.03. The 10-year, okay, yeah, okay, that might be affecting the financials just a little. I can't imagine that much. The 10-year's down 1 basis point to 1.30, as interest rates and bonds really have a big impact on the growth stocks in particular. So we have to really watch those interest rates closely, and we'll get to what our friends at the Fed had to say in Jackson Hole over the weekend. Other than it's a beautiful place, the trout fishing's good, you know. Bitcoin's down $544 per coin today, $47,929. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years behind the wheel here, driving this ship of not only the radio show, but managing portfolios and being heavily involved in this market. I've got my waders on. I've got my, night vision goggles on. I've got my snorkel, my mask, so I can look underneath the surface of the market, because that's really where the action takes place, even though, the indexes, it has a lot to do with it. But a lot of times underneath the indexes, you see things that, you know, you don't see from just the headlines. Well, let's pick up where we left off last week. All right, the S&P 500 on Friday hit a new all-time high, and it took off during the day on Friday as we got Chairman Powell, the Fed Chairman's comments out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, as it relates to the future of interest rate hikes from the Fed and the future of tapering from the Fed. Will the Fed remain friendly, or will the Fed start to get a little bit hawkish? Well, the market loved what Jerome Powell had to say on Friday. That's evidenced by the fact that the Dow finished up 242 points on Friday. It did not hit an all-time high, but very close to it. The S&P, on the other hand, last Friday was up 39 points. It's tacking on another 12 today. We're now above 4,500, and we have new all-time highs on the S&P 500 once again. And, of course, the NASDAQ has taken command once again, the tech stocks. I've been talking about this for quite some time. The reflation stocks are taking a back seat once again. The NASDAQ leading the way. The NASDAQ was up 183 on Friday. It's up 99 points today, and we're well above 15,000. How high can the NASDAQ go? Well, I would say that a lot of that a lot of that depends upon interest rates, okay? Because the interest rates, NASDAQ's got those higher PE growth stocks, and any kind of rising rate environment would put those in harm's way. So that's where we left off. One big piece of news, now in the PE ratio for the S&P 500, we move everything ahead one quarter, okay? So the PE ratio of the S&P 500 is today's current price of the S&P, which is about 4,500, 4,600 almost, somewhere in there, divided by the last four quarters of earnings. So we've moved everything ahead. Now that that quarter has ended and everything's in, that drops the PE ratio now to 24.63. That's the current PE ratio according to my figures, 24.63. The forward PE, which is the current price of the S&P 500 divided by the next four quarters of anticipated earnings, that's also everything is moved ahead one quarter in that calculation, and the forward PE is now 21.81. You say, well, where does that fit in as we look at the long-term averages? Well, the forward PE over time has averaged 16 to 18, somewhere in there. We're at 21.81. Well, why are we so high? Why are we so well above the averages? And I've said this many times in the past. I'll say it again. Because interest rates have a major impact on the PE ratios and the forward PE ratios. The lower the interest rate, the higher those PE ratios will go. And we have got an extraordinarily friendly dovish Fed at the current time. Probably never seen such a friendly Fed. And that has allowed that forward PE to creep up to 21.81 as of Friday. The market has already priced in the earnings for this year for the S&P 500. This is 2021. I would say the market has pretty much already priced in 2022 expectations. The market now looking ahead to 2023. That's right. That's how forward-looking the market is. So while the average do-it-yourself investor is looking at yesterday and last week and today and tomorrow and what they're going to have for lunch, no, I don't mean that, but it's the individual investor's nature to be worried about today, you know, and what's going on in the market today. The market is looking ahead now to 2023 and watching the earnings expectations that far out, watching the Fed's expectations that far out, and that's what the market is trading on here right now. Okay, so that's why in my newsletter every weekend I focus on 2 years out, 1.5, 2 years, 3 years out, and that's where I come up with my target prices for the market. And I've got some new target prices today from some other sources, and we'll compare that, you know, with what I'm seeing. So we had new all-time highs on Friday. You had Jay Powell signal a soft taper. In other words, he's not going to put the hammer down and quit buying bonds, all right? They're going to continue socking away bonds, expanding their balance sheet, which is about $8 trillion right now. Highest, I think that's the highest it's ever been. But they're going to start cutting back on those bond purchases, and they won't be as robust going forward. All right. And we had Chairman Powell at the Fed say, you know what? We're going to be very slow in moving. We're going to be very slow in moving forward with interest rate hikes or any kind of tightening or any kind of unfriendliness from the Fed. We're going to continue to be friendly. Anyways, so that was good news, and you saw how the market reacted to that. If you want to know how the news went, you just look at the market's reaction. Anyways, that's where we left off last week. Now, we did have a hurricane over the weekend. You know, that was a massive hurricane. Do you realize with the news feed that we have today, that a devastating hurricane in Louisiana almost gets lost in the news feed? all of New Orleans out of power after catastrophic storm damage. You know, I think it was the anniversary to the day of Hurricane Katrina 16 years ago to the day. Isn't that weird? And the hurricane damage is bad. That's, you know, there's an impact on the financials today. The insurance stock's probably selling off just a little. The insurance stock's selling a little, down a little bit about, you know, obviously claims coming in from Hurricane Ida. They're saying the cost of the storm could exceed $40 billion. $40 billion. Well, I'll tell you, New Orleans right in the path of a lot of these Gulf of Mexico hurricanes. Okay, we'll come back. We'll define just a little bit more what Powell had to say. And then I want you to see what others are saying about the macro outlook for the market right now. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show, with NASDAQ up 101, hitting a new all-time high. Maybe 16,000 is in our sights now. We are 230 points above 15,000. The Dow still stumbling a little bit, down 37. Interest rates down just a little. I'm sure that's impacting the financials and, of course, the hit over the weekend by the latest Hurricane Ida, hurting the insurance stocks just a little bit. Okay, let's wrap up what Powell had to say. The U.S. economy is making progress toward the Federal Reserve's twin goals of full employment and price stability, meaning the central bank is considering reducing its purchases of treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities. Okay, we knew all about that. Powell continues to make the case that inflation pressures are transitory. All right. Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? We had more companies last week, especially the food companies, the restaurant stocks, complaining about the rising costs that they've had to absorb or pass on to customers. And Powell also said that, you know, it's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long time before we start hiking interest rates. Now, having said that, the market can start hiking interest rates anytime it wants, like it did in February and March of this year. And that puts the eye of the hurricane in a rising interest rate environment, the bond market number one, high PE out there on the frontier type stocks, the Cathie Woods type stocks, and then, of course, growth stocks that are trading at high PE ratios. We're not seeing that right now. We've got the 10-year at 1.31. Now, I analyzed the chart of interest rates over the weekend. I have a family member that is wanting to know, should I lock in my loan now? It looks to me that interest rates have bottomed, and now they're forming a sideways trend, the 10-year at about 1.3. And from here, it looks to me like they're going to start heading back up. Now, how quickly and when, I have no idea. But you have a pretty good bottom floor being put in on those interest rates. I don't think they're going to go a whole lot lower from here unless there's something big that happens out there that we're not a black swan type event. All right. I always like to look at other people's macro outlooks on the market. And the latest one here is from, where did I put that? Right there. UBS eases up on cyclicals, bumps up healthcare, blah, blah, blah. UBS recently joined the Wall Street trend, boosting its S&P 500 forecast for this year and next year. It's now calling for next year's SPY, S&P 500, at 5,000. Okay, that's the UBS. And of course, I do mine every weekend in my newsletter, and I always say to folks that get my newsletter, the first place I would go in the newsletter is the macro outlook of the newsletter. because everything kind of stems from there. If you got a lousy macro outlook and falling earnings expectations, that's not a good environment to own stocks. Okay, we don't have that situation right now, but at some point in the future, we will. And that's why it's so important every week to stay on top of that. And, you know, the answer to the question, is it too late to get in? Well, that comes down to what the current macro outlook in the market looks like. And then, of course, from there, you branch out into the asset classes, and you branch out into the sectors of the market. And as of now, it's kind of a mixed bag in the leading sectors of the market, but it's dominated by technology, different kinds of sectors, such as the cybersecurity and enterprise software stocks remain very, very strong. I would say that the big cap, large tech stocks, the FANG stocks, remain very, very strong. The medical sector, for the most part, more of the device makers, the medical instrument makers, continues to be very, very strong. What else looks pretty good right now? I don't like the energy sector at all. The housing sector is kind of peaked and starting to crumble a little bit. The industrials, you know, they're looking ahead to infrastructure. Some of them remain okay. The transportation sector, not exactly a red hot sector right now. So that's kind of where the sectors are at right now. And of course, a lot of that will depend on which way interest rates go going forward. Consumer sentiment comes in a little bit higher in August, but it misses estimates. That's the monthly Michigan consumer sentiment index, which comes out. That's important because the consumer is a big part of the U.S. economy. China had a good week last week. I wouldn't get too excited. That's probably a lot of short covering. Maybe a little bit of bottom fishing. I don't have any interest. China has lost me as any kind of an investor in Chinese stocks, and they continue to crack down. Another company in the crosshairs today, NetEase, N-T-E-S, they're going to limit. The Chinese government is going to limit. And how are they going to monitor this? Somebody going to watch you? They're going to limit the amount of time that teenagers can play video games. Well, heavy hand of government. We also had last week a pretty good week in the that high PE sector of the market. That's another head fake for me. I have no interest in the Chinese stocks or in that high PE, high growth, highly speculative area of the market. All right, the travel companies, the travel stocks could be in trouble. The EU is set to reintroduce COVID-related travel curbs on the U.S. Well, if you were planning that European vacation, you may be in trouble. And, of course, that's not good for Delta and American and United and all the others. And, of course, all the travel-related stocks like Expedia and, travel TripAdvisor.com and Yelp and all that kind of stuff, not good. Fauci says COVID-19 vaccine mandates in school a good idea. Well, what do you think about that? You can't send your that's a proposal. You can't send your kid back to school unless they are vaccinated. He said, why not? We do it for a lot of other things like polio, measles, mumps, rubella, hepatitis, he said. I would just say that it continues to be a controversial subject. I know some NFL teams now are not going to let you into their stadium unless you can prove that you've been vaccinated. The airlines have not gone that far. You'd have some restaurants. Well, New York City, you can't get into a restaurant or bar unless you have proof of vaccination. All right, we're going to talk about a lot of individual stocks when we come back. This is Bill Gutterson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show to begin a new week with just today and tomorrow left of August. September comes in on Wednesday, and of course on September 30th we'll have the end of the third quarter of 2021, and we have very solid estimates out there for what that quarter might look like. The last several quarters have just blown away the estimates. I don't expect to have another quarter, next quarter like we have this quarter, but you never know. The momentum has really been in the direction of everything, most companies guiding higher and beating estimates. You know, like 88% of the companies out there that reported in the S&P 500 beat estimates. NASDAQ really taking off right now, up 129, new all-time high. Dow up 11, or down 8 right now, almost has gone positive here. I think our friends at the Fed helped out a lot on Friday. All right, individual stock time in the second half of the show. One thing I have noticed, okay, the SPAC IPO merger activity has slowed down substantially from the first quarter of this year. And that was one of the warning signs. The last quarter of 2020, the first quarter of this year, I never before have added so many new companies. You'd have to go back to 2000 and the dot-com bubble, adding stocks to my database, my beststocksnowapp.com database. There was a SPAC a day. Oh, no, there was more than a SPAC a day. Sometimes it was 40 or 50 SPACs per day. And IPOs also, that has cooled off considerably. I haven't seen any SPACs, new SPACs. They're now a little worried with lawsuits flying, SPAC suits flying. But it's good to see that cool off. But when I saw all of that speculative activity back in January of this year, you know, I started backing off. I started backing off big time, getting out of the Fivers and the Teladocs and the Upworks of the world because they were very high P.E. stocks that benefited from the COVID situation last year and were kind of in the way of the speculative wave and the rising interest rates that were starting to heat up there back in February and March. And being an unconstrained investor, I don't have to sit tight in those kind of stocks like others do in mutual funds and ETFs. I can move about, and I did not like what I saw earlier this year. I locked in a lot of profits in February, late February, early March. I kind of parked in some value stocks for a while to let the storm clouds pass, and then I started getting back into a little different group of stocks than what I owned last year. Okay, people talk to me all the time about what do you think about digital currencies, and I'm going to give the same answer that I always give, and I have more ammo to back up that opinion today. India is going to commence trials for a digital rupee, that's their currency, by December, says the central bank governor. In my opinion, the biggest threat, and this is why you do what you want to do with digital currencies and Bitcoin and Dogecoin and whatever else, Ethereum. I could not, with a clear conscience, put my clients into digital currencies, okay? You do what you want to do. I think it's an individual decision. I think the biggest threat to digital currency continues to be government regulations and government developing their own digital currency. We already have a couple of the largest economies in the world going that route. China. China shoot out all of the private Bitcoin miners and this and that out of their country. It crashed Bitcoin there for quite some time. And China is developing, and they already have their own digital currency. Now, will they ever flip the switch to where it's all digital? Who knows? Maybe, but I think that's where it's headed. And now you've got another huge economy in India commencing trials for their digital rupee. And I think it's just a matter of time before the U.S. I know they're already testing out some different modes of having their own digital currency. So like I say, you do what you want to do with the digitals. I'm just going to watch from the sidelines. We have a new meme stock. This is one being driven by the Reddit crowd. Support.com. Support.com. S-P-R-T. I pointed this out several days ago. I said there's unusual activity showing up in my app in a stock, SPRT. And it's, you know, you can look at the fundamentals of these stocks. They're usually $1 or $2 stocks, $4 stocks, $3 stocks. This thing went to 60 all of a sudden from a $4 stock. That's not normal. Unless they, you know, hit oil or gold or something. And no, it's they hit the Reddit boards. Is that a good reason to buy a stock? No. You do what you want to do with the meme stocks like AMC Entertainment and GameStop and now Support.com. They're crazy. They're all over the place. The fundamentals are horrible on these stocks. And, of course, somebody came forth last week saying they're going to have a meme ETF. Oh, no, that's a good idea. Let's take a bunch of these crappy stocks and put them together into a nice ETF for folks. I wouldn't touch that one. But here is one that has a legitimate story behind it. And, boy, is it popping today. I'm sure you've heard of satellite telephones, okay? I know in the boating industry, these guys that fish way offshore and whatnot, they've got to get a satellite telephone and use satellite communications to communicate because the cell towers don't reach 200 miles offshore. Well, Globalstar, GSAT, there's a report that the iPhone 13, now this is a report, the iPhone 13 may be able to use satellite connectivity. In other words, anywhere where there's stars above you, which is the entire planet, you would be able to connect to telephone service using your Apple 13. But I would say once again, that's a story that's out there. Globalstar is jumping today 48% on that news. This isn't my kind of stock, GSAT, but it is an interesting story nonetheless. Okay, I always look for really good companies. I like to check out when a competitor goes public. Well, Salesforce is now in the Dow, one of the best new stocks, one of the best stocks in the entire Dow, CRM. There's a competitor to Salesforce, which is a CRM company, you know, customer relation management, where you put all your notes when you talk to somebody, etc. Well, there's a competitor by the name of Freshworks, F-R-S-H, which we'll keep our eye out for, which is filed for an initial public offering. I caught a stock, I invested in a stock in my emerging growth portfolio that's a competitor to CrowdStrike. And they went public about a month ago. I already own CrowdStrike, but I also invested in the competitor. All right, let's see. Blink Charging, you know what? This is not the kind of stock to own here in 2021. Shares are up. Company introduces its newest home EV charger, electric vehicle charger. These are the kinds of stocks that worked last year. These are not the kind of stocks I would go near this year. Krispy Kreme makes market entry into Egypt with its first outlet in Cairo. Bringing clogged veins to Cairo is Krispy Kreme. And no interest there either. Chart Industries buys a water treatment company. Now, I did check on this story because that's a hot sector. You know, the infrastructure bill has a lot of money set aside for water treatment, clean water, getting mercury out of water, if there's any mercury left, if there's any water districts that still have mercury like they had up there in Flint, Michigan. Chart Industries buys a water treatment company. And in fact, there's some ETFs that are all about water. Water, WTR. So you might want to check out Chart Industries, GTLS. When we come back, I'll have our featured stock of the day. This is BILL. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we're watching the NASDAQ hit new all-time highs again today, well above 15,000. We're seeing the S&P 500 hit new all-time highs again today. Oh, I hear the age-old question, is it too late to get in? I've been hearing that since 2009. You know, at some point when the market starts going down and we start going into an earnings recession, we'll hear, is it too late to get out? You know, you got to also know when to, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, I guess I would say. But you know what? It all depends on those future earnings forecasts. Those future earnings forecasts, that's what the market is trading on right now. And it obviously sees sufficient earnings forecast ahead and a friendly Fed ahead to make for a continued bull market, which for the most part has been going on now since 2009 when we had our last bear market, our real last bear market, with the S&P going down 53%. We've had some quick hits along the way since then, but in all reality, the last bear market was 2008-2009, minus 53%. And earnings at that time for the S&P 500 bottomed out, annual earnings, $53 per share. And we're looking at almost $235 per share, somewhere in there, $245, $240, somewhere in there, 2023. All right, well, I'm going to go in a little different direction here with our featured stock of the day. I still like the lithium play. You know, If we truly do go in this electric vehicle direction that we're going, and it seems almost inevitable, I think government's going to make a lot of mandates for electric vehicles going forward. Lithium becomes the new oil, doesn't it? Well, there's a lot of ways to play lithium, but I kind of like some of these stocks that are diversified and have other things besides lithium. I like SQM. We'll make that our featured stock of the day. It's a Chilean producer of specialty fertilizers. Okay. That's another big deal. Fertilizer prices. I'll tell you a little story. I like a green lawn. I just like a green lawn. I take care of my own lawn. It's one of my joys of life on Saturdays. I went and bought some Scott's Miracle-Gro the triple option one that has not only the fertilizer in it, the nitrogen, especially the nitrogen. That's what makes grass green. But it also has a few things in there to kill local weeds. We get dollar weeds around here. They're not worth a dollar, but they mess up your lawn. And we get other kinds of weeds. That stuff is $50 a bag. It has doubled in price. Back to SQM. Sociedad Química y Minerales, okay? It's SQM is a $14 billion company. It's a large-cap company. It's not a recommendation. It's an example. There's a reason why that in my proprietary ranking system at beststocksnowapp.com, it is ranked number 104 out of 5,856. The two biggest factors that I like to see in stocks that I consider to be best stocks now. Number one, valuation. Well, the PEG ratio on SQM is 1.42. It's not the cheapest stock out there, but it's a lot cheaper than a lot of these high-growth electric vehicle types of stocks. A lot of those don't even have any sales yet, okay? SQM has a lot of annual sales. Their annual sales are $1.8 billion right now per year. It pays a dividend, I think 0.7%, something like that. They've been growing their earnings, which is another big consideration for me. Earnings growth along the way. They're expected to continue to grow their earnings over the next 5 years at about 19% per year. It meets my value criteria. It gets a valuation grade of A. And from a performance point of view, it currently has a momentum grade of A. It's up 60% over the last 12 months. The market's up 27.9. That's relative strength. That's alpha. When I combine valuation with momentum and performance, I get an A overall Gunderson stock rating, which is strong buy. And it's ranked number 104 out of 5,856. And I also disclose that we own this stock at Gunderson Capital Management in a couple of our portfolios right now. So that will make our featured stock of the day, SQM, which is currently ranked number 104 out of 5,856. I can't tell you. Somebody asked me a question on a stock today on the on the chat room at Seeking Alpha, and I said, well, you know, the first place I go is I look up the overall rank. And the stock he was asking about was ranked like number 1,900, something like that. And I said, the rank, you know, it's got to be within, it's got to be a B-plus or better ranked stock for me. And then I look at the chart and other things, but the, just looking at that rank completely eliminates it right off the top for me, the stock that he asked about. Okay, well, you know what? I put together a beautiful newsletter that went out on Saturday. If you missed it, it was chock full of my macro outlook and all kinds of different best stocks now. The top 300 right now, ranked stocks, the best sectors in the market right now, the best asset classes in the market right now, the areas of the market to avoid right now. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Also, if you'd like to set up an appointment with one of member of my team, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. We are starting to line up our Minnesota trip, which looks like October, and then our next trip to Sarasota, which looks like late October, with Minnesota being somewhere early October. So we'll be out there on the road, you know, and bringing a workshop to your town and sitting down and talking with folks that are interested in seeing what we have to offer. And, of course, we continue to put out the newsletter. I have the live trading service. If you like to mow your own lawn and mow your own stocks and tend your own garden, right, you can go to GundersonCapital.com to learn more about my newsletter, live trading services, and the app, BestStocksNowApp.com. This is Bill Gunderson signing out. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.